touch thou my lips, so that I might speak of thee, Lord Jesus, in a way that I could not, apart from your fresh touch. Touch thou our minds and think through them. Touch thou our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The passage that Barbara read occurs in Mark and Matthew as well. It's quite a long passage, and one could preach a sermon, I think, on each of the three sections quite easily, but let's see what happens here. So the passage tells us about the mission of Jesus and the opposition he encountered, and various aspects of change and a number of questions are raised in the passage. And I've picked out three questions and three answers that we might reflect on. So it might help to keep the passage open, the Luke passage open, 10:33 I think it was. So the first question is, who needs a doctor? Well, we see it implied in verse 31. Who needs a doctor? Now, many in a group this size will have had health problems of one sort or another. Some of them are life-threatening, some affect the quality of our lives, while others are merely irritants and will soon pass. Who needs a doctor? Well, no doubt all of us are immensely grateful to God for the amazing and far-reaching medical care that's available to us through the NHS. Yet these are not the issues that Jesus has in mind when, in effect, he's asking his listeners the question, who needs a doctor? The sickness that Jesus had in mind underlies the whole of his teaching, and that's this dreadful, terminal disease of sin. It affects everyone the whole world over. There was only ever one man without sin, just one man who resisted temptation in all its forms, only one man who was perfect in every way in God's eyes. And the Lord Jesus is described in this way, for example, in the opening chapter of John's Gospel. The rest of mankind, however, suffers from the disease of sin. The Bible puts it this way in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the consequences of sin are also clear in the Bible. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And many think that it does not matter that much, if at all, and that everything will be all right in the end. They conclude that leaving God out of the reckoning and not bother with what he has spoken will not be a problem for him, for them. They omit to take into account that one day they will have to stand before him. In summary, their thinking is that they are basically all right as they are. They have no need for a doctor. They have no need for Jesus. And the Pharisees thought that their so-called righteousness was gained by keeping a whole host of detailed laws that had been devised and added to over the years. And these attitudes were illustrated by their questioning in verses 29 and 33, and then verse 3 as well. So roughly speaking, it had reached the stage whereby, for them, you had to do all these things connected with making an outward show of your spirituality, your prayers and your fastings, for example. And there are also things you are not to do, like engaging with certain groups of people. And additionally, you must not do anything on the Sabbath that could be interpreted in any way as work. Well, this we see in verse 3, where they accuse the disciples of reaping and threshing grains of wheat, and then of preparing food, all done on the Sabbath. The Pharisees declared, "Your disciples are working on the Sabbath." And later they accused Jesus of working on the Sabbath because he healed someone on the Sabbath day. The righteousness that they thought they possessed by following the details of their self-devised laws was utterly worthless. Who needs a doctor that can heal this disease of sin and its consequences? And the answer is anyone who's sinned. In short, that's everyone. Again, let's take note of the force of those verses in Romans. Romans 3:23. "There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And in 6:23 in Romans, "For the wages of sin is death." But Jesus, the great physician, is able to save all who come upon him. In our readings in Romans, you'll have noticed in verse 12, "For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." There is no difference between Jew and Gentiles in Romans 3. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile in chapter 10. We do well to recognise that people are not all right if they're living without Jesus in their lives. As a church, we're not here to keep Christians entertained. We're here to motivate those Christians to share the good news of the Lord Jesus with all. Every Christian, an evangelist. Every Christian, a missionary, was a powerful theme that came across in our recent Vision Day. So there's our first question. Who needs a doctor? And the second question, why are you doing this? And this question is to be seen a number of times in the passage. It arises because the Pharisees were concerned about what other people were doing, and in some cases, when they were doing it. Verse 29 then. "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" The answer was, of course, that these were the very people that Jesus had come to save. The lowly, the despised, and the outcasts. Throughout the whole Bible, there are references to the poor and needy and to those who knew that they were in need of something or someone to meet with them and come alongside them. Only the rich and secure at welcome at our church is not a feature of our welcome banner or a greeting we'd ever want to propagate. And it was certainly not a standpoint to be found in the early church. We see the question, why are you doing this, in verse 2 as well. Some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And this is where they accuse the disciples, as we already noted, of working on the Sabbath. And because of the twisted way in which they interpreted the fourth commandment, they sought to impose their views on others. They were in the wrong, and Jesus stated that he was Lord of the Sabbath. Pharisees, get a grip on the situation. You're missing the point. You can't see the essentials of salvation because of your distorted views about the requirements of a holy God. Again, the question, why are you doing this, occurs in verse 6. It's implied in verse 6, but this time relates to healing on the Sabbath. And this is what the Pharisees were thinking. This is work, and you're not allowed to do work on the Sabbath, even if it is healing someone. Now, to our minds, to take such an attitude is extraordinary. We would see this as so getting things out of proportion as to be missing the main thrust of what we're here for. The message of James is helpful on this, where we're urged to do good to all. So verse 9, Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And there wasn't a rational answer to that question. So we looked at the first question, who needs a doctor? And concluded that everyone is affected by the disease of sin. And that the gospel needs to be proclaimed not just in Old Hill, but throughout the nation, throughout the whole world indeed. And that's why we engage in worldwide mission with its various societies and with our mission partners, all with their varied tasks. And then we looked at the second question, why are you doing this? And our conclusion this time is that our motivation for doing things is not just to follow man-made rules and traditions, but we're to follow the clear teaching of the Bible, and in particular, the teaching of the apostles. For this is what the early church did. You'll know that verse, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We're not meant to be following man-made add-ons to our Christian behaviour, or to follow our own thoughts if they do not reflect the plain teaching of Scripture. And Timothy says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. One often hears the question, what would Jesus do? And so often it's followed by inadequate answers that begin, I think that. Well, this can result in decisions that are at variance with the apostles' teaching. Let's look at our third question. What should we do? Now, very loosely, if you look at the last verse of the reading, verse 11, it's there. The Pharisees began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. What shall we do? Well, Jesus had completely healed the man with the withered hand, and this had provoked a furious outburst by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They had seen that Jesus was not conforming to what they expected to be done in the system that they had devised. What should we do with Jesus? Was their twisted, angry response to his healing on the Sabbath. They wanted to get rid of Jesus and they started to devise their plans. But the questions, a good one for us to consider. What shall we do? And this passage has a number of observations we might think through. And the first is found in 27. What shall we do with Jesus? Well, it is to follow him and to have him as the focus of all that we do. And that's just what Levi did. After this, Jesus went out, saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And he did. For most of us, it may not mean leaving everything behind, but it might. But it does mean that he is to be Saviour, Lord and God of our lives. And the implications of following him in this way emphasises just why we need to be taught from and learn from the scriptures expounded. The word of God is to be our guide. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And this is just one of many verses in Psalm 119 that stress the importance of God's word in the life of a believer. The second observation that we get as we consider that question, what should we do with other people? We need to recognise that they need to hear about Jesus and all that he can do for them. They are sinners who need to know what the gospel offers. They need to hear the message of a loving Saviour and of the need to repent and believe and to trust in him day by day. There are so many who have never heard these things clearly, and there are many who are deluded in their beliefs that everything will be okay in the end. And Jesus claims he is the only one to hear them, to heal them of this crippling disease, and we're to share this message with our local community and beyond. And then the third observation from this passage, we see in verses 36 to 39. Because I think that's saying that partial solutions are not appropriate. He told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to sew onto the old one. Otherwise they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. The story about patching garments, story about the new wine and the wineskins. Well, what do we learn from these illustrations of Jesus about the God-given mission in which we are engaged? It's saying that you cannot get a satisfactory change if bits are added on. Trying to do better, having new experiences, going through religious ceremonies will do nothing of eternal value. Taking Jesus at his word is the only way forward for the salvation of ourselves and others yet to hear of his love. So in conclusion, who needs a doctor? Be aware that the disease called sin afflicts everyone, and all need to come to the great physician who can deal with this disease and its consequences. The second question, why are you doing this? Be careful that your lifestyle is governed by the clear teachings of the New Testament that the apostles laid down in Scripture, and not the distortions of modern life that others choose to follow. What should we do? Follow Jesus wholeheartedly and recognise that we have a task to fulfil that God's entrusted to us. Recognise also that the vast majority of people have not yet heard how the gospel can apply to them. Amen.